By the way, has that helped you? Has your conversation changed at home from this summit that we've been doing? Has it changed in your sphere of influence yet? I hope so. I hope that we're encouraging you. Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18. This is where we are going to be today. We're going to be reading there in just a moment. Luke chapter 18. Now, last week, if you remember, we spoke about what happens when we bless others. You know, being a Church of Christ, in our tradition, we aren't typically comfortable with the idea of blessing each other. But we talked about that last week, and we talked about what happens when you bless others. Last night, we had a daddy-daughter dinner, and that was just so much fun. I tell you, some of these guys dress up really well. And their daughters, man, so many beautiful girls in that room. It was a beautiful evening. And Michael Harbour, he spoke to us about blessing. And I've been speaking to you about blessing through your words. He was talking about blessing through your presence. And I think that blessing happens in several different ways. But the one thing he talked about last night that I, you know, kind of talked about last week was how when you bless other people, it shows them that God is paying attention. And that's important today, to know that God is paying attention. It also leads to a transformation, this idea of transforming people into the image of Jesus Christ. Blessing helps that process, and it also helps prepare us to go into a world knowing that we are the beloved of God, especially when we go into a world that is not always kind. So I'm going to encourage you to continue to be intentional about blessing others with your words and with your presence. You can do it. So this week, we have two more weeks left, this one and next week, about our family summit, and I think it's been a lot of fun. It's been helpful for me and challenging. So this week, we talk about what it means to renovate your life. It says Renovate 15. That's the theme of the series, and this is what we start talking about today. Now, many of us know a lot about renovating and remodeling. Even if you've never done it before, we are bombarded by everything to do with home improvement shows. In fact, it started, if you remember, back in, I think it was 1979, with this show right here. Remember that? Remember this old house? Who was the guy? Bob Villa became a household name after a couple years with this old house. You know, times have changed a little bit. 1991, a show came on the air called Home Improvement. Remember that one? And since then, I don't know what's happened with our country, but we have fallen in love with the idea of good old-fashioned remodeling. So here are some of the shows that are currently airing on television. Here we go. Ready? Fixer Upper, Designed to Sell, Yard Crashers, House Crashers, Bath Crashers, Kitchen Crashers, Flip or Flop, Flip This House, Love It or List It, Property Brothers, Rehab Addict, Renovation Realities, Ice My House, The Vanilla Ice Project, Vanilla Ice Goes Amish, and my own favorite, that's a good one, and my own favorite, Curb Appeal. Yeah. Do you think that we are bombarded with some home renovation television shows? And this is not anywhere close to all of them, by the way. Some of our people here have their own experiences with this show. In fact, a couple of people won a Curb Appeal episode thanks to Rachel Ray, and they got to have their whole outside of their house remodeled. This was a couple years ago. So I'm going to show this clip from Curb Appeal, Texas Style.
Oh, I see it. Is that your house right there?
Yes, this is my house right here.
Tell me about the screens.
They're solar screens to keep the sun, but they've just faded.
There's other ways of creating the same effect, yes, which we need to research.
Sounds good.
I feel like there's almost a contemporary twist to this house. Would you be okay going a little modern?
Yeah. It's funny because I always thought I wanted a red brick house,
yeah,
until I bought a red brick house. Can you paint my brick house?
Yes.
All right.
And now it's finally time to reveal the final project. The Fords are on their way home, and I hope they love their house as much as I do.
Oh, I like it. Oh, dude, look at
it.
Woo! Yeah! What do you guys think?
Looks awesome. The entryway is awesome,
right?
Awesome.
Epic.
My favorite pieces are this entryway, the stained glass. It's like now we have so much dimension. And then art, like art on our house.
Yeah.
So I love it.
Truly.
And I also love the color. I hated the red brick. And so to have the gray, I'm very happy about that.
I love it. Like, it's great, and I'm glad I trusted John and his opinion. That's why you trust the experts.
Do you remember what I said the retaining walls would do for you?
He was going to make it a new horizon.
Yes!
There you go.
Sam!
Who knew? I was listening the whole time.
We poured all this new, and we created essentially a sidewalk that's your own.
Yes.
This is the 504 sidewalk.
I love the bench.
I know. So. We have like a little space to sit.
That's awesome.
So essentially, you've got your own little bus stop, but it also works well with your landscape.
Right.
Yeah. I'm very excited by just the whole garden. Like, it is a park-like front yard now.
Shutters. They're essentially taking the place of those awful screens that you had in front of your windows before.
And I love the natural wood. It's just added a lot of texture to our house and a variety of colors. So many people stop at this stop sign. It's like now I'm not embarrassed and running inside. I can be proud and sit on my bench and say, this is my house.
Yeah.
John's a miracle worker, and I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for coming to Texas and doing this for us.
Wow. I tell you, that made a difference. The thing I love about that is that their entire remodel lasted 45 minutes from start to finish. It's amazing, wasn't it? Y'all weren't put out at all by this, were you? And you know, you didn't have to get out of your house for a couple days or have. I tell you, that's kind of fun, isn't it? Imagine if someone just offered to do that to your home, just to, you know, totally make it look completely different. You know, for some reason, by the way, thank you for letting me show that. I know he loves that. He loves that attention. You know, one good remodel can really improve not only the house, but the whole neighborhood. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm enthralled with these home improvement shows. And honestly, my favorite, anytime the Vanilla Ice, anything with the Vanilla Ice is on, I have to watch it, you know. It's fun because I love the satisfaction of the process. I love the idea of the end result. It makes you feel like you've accomplished something. Now, my wife is great at this. She can see the beauty in anything that looks broken. She's great at that. She can see the beauty in broken things. You know, we love this idea of renovating. We live in a remodeled home, you know. Love the idea of it. You know, I would much rather people redo their home than tear it down and build something that's brand new and shiny. But it's funny because in our culture, renovation isn't just for homes. You know, by the way, in 2013, did you know we spent about $130 billion on home renovations in America? $130 billion. And so when you think about the idea that renovation isn't just for homes, it's also, we're also consumed with renovating, I don't know, our own personal curb appeal, aren't we? In fact, in 2013, America spent $11 billion on enhancements to their personal self, facelifts, Botox, other cosmetic procedures. In 2014, we spent over $60 billion on weight loss programs, devices, pills, gym memberships, etc. In fact, weight loss programs, most of that money was wasted because we just gain weight right back after a year. That's typically the weight loss program has about a year expectancy. And the gym membership, only 33% of those people actually ever go. It's interesting, isn't it? And finally, but you can't have gym membership without having the gym clothes, you know. And so we've spent about $30 billion on fitness apparel to go to a gym that we don't really go to. But we want to look good, and we have to. I think it's important that our culture, to know our culture wants our outsides to look really good. I'm right there. You know, I just had a birthday, and my goal this year is to become more intentional with my life. In fact, I want to look more like Jesus at 45 than I did at 40. Because, you know, when I look right back to it, I'm not satisfied with my life. Are you? Is anybody in here satisfied with their life? Is God finished with you yet? Or is this just as good as it gets? When I was in middle school, I'm about to tell a really embarrassing story. I've never really told. I was in middle school, and I was a kid who took me a while to thin up, okay? So I was chubby. My parents thought I was going to have a weight problem. And I remember PE, when you're a 12-year-old boy, is very difficult. that locker room is tough. You know, boys can be very mean. And I wanted to figure out how to do something about it. You know, how do you defend yourself? And instead of beating them up, like my brother suggested, I wanted to use words. So my mom gave me the best thing to say. Oh, she told me what to say. So the next day I went into PE and the insult started. And I looked at them and I said, hey, you need to stop making fun of me. God is not finished with me yet. And as the words came out of my mouth, it did not have the same punch as I thought it would. You know, it's just, thanks, Mom. You know, she meant, well, I probably should have just beat him up. You know, I don't know. But it's funny because it's really embarrassing all of a sudden telling you that about me. It's funny, though, but that moment, even though that was a very embarrassing moment for me, I did know and I was made very aware, hey, I'm not done. And thank the Lord, he was not finished with me yet. In Luke 18, we meet a man who I think thought he was finished. Thought he had, you know, had done enough and did not really need any renovating. So let's read this really quickly. Luke 18. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. Now, at this point, I can really relate to this guy. He acknowledges Jesus as God's messenger. He calls him good, and Jesus recognizes this. You know, I do that too. I know Jesus is good. I was a pretty good kid. I did not get into much trouble as a kid. I tried to be nice. I still do to some extent. And there were moments whenever I think to myself and in the past, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, most people like me. I do good things. I serve sometimes. Sometimes I really got it together. Sometimes I feel good about myself. In the past, I have felt more good about myself. You ever been there, that moment, and you're looking at yourself going, you know, I'm doing pretty well. He says, you know the commandments, right? And in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I do. I know the commandments too. I mean, I was in church all my life. Done a lot of commandments. And I've kept most of them pretty well. You know, and granted, I have thought a bit too much of myself, but luckily that's not a commandment, so I'm good there. Kind of relating to this guy. Verse 22, it says this, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. There it is. Those are the words that sneak up on you. You know, Jesus, he knows our heart. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how humble we are, and he knows how prideful we are. As it says in Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not look at what people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. When I read this, I wonder, okay, what is in this man's heart at this moment? Whatever it was, I don't think he was ready to deal with it, and he certainly wasn't expecting this response. So let's continue. Verse 23 says this, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and he said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. So here is a man who embodies everything that the Jew strives to be. Righteous, powerful, well-respected, wealthy, And Jesus looks at him in the eyes and he says, nope, not enough. Not done yet. You still need renovation. And as I read through this text, I ask myself, why did this man ask Jesus his question to begin with? Did he really want to know the answer? There are certain things I don't ask my wife anymore because I know that she's going to tell me the truth. Did he really want an answer here? Or was he just trying to show off a bit for those people around that circle? I mean, what did he expect Jesus to say? Oh, no, you, it's you. You're good. You are good. No problem with you. Don't worry at all. You are in. In fact, why don't I get up and you can sit in this seat and teach us for a little while? I mean, what did this man expect Jesus to say? I'm inclined to think it did not go as he anticipated. Leads me to think and believe that even the best of us, even those of us who think we have it all together, we still need renovating. But the good news is that God is in the renovation business. He doesn't get scared of broken things. He doesn't get intimidated or manipulated by how shiny something is, or how strong it may seem, or how powerful it seems. Instead, he sees past the outward appearance, past the facade, into the potential. He knows what we need to be transformed into his image. He knows what we need to help us look more like Jesus Christ. There was a moment in my life that I equated being a Christian with being nice, being moral, and being, I don't know, someone who let others know what I didn't approve of. My Christian walk was mostly motivated by other people and the way that they saw me. I could be doing or thinking most anything, but on the outside, I looked like the poster boy for Christian values. And for a while, I didn't think I needed renovating at all. My curb appeal was good, but my insides, I may have looked good, but I did not look like Jesus Christ. And I wonder, in this day and age, with the church on every corner, Christian music stations on the radio, Christian films, Christian bookstores, Christian bumper stickers, Christian coffee shops, Christian this, Christian that, I keep asking myself, why don't Christians look more like Christ? Is it because we think we're already done? Case closed. The big reveal has already happened. Do we think that all the work was done at our baptism and now we can just sit back and relax and wait for eternity to come? I mean, do we look like Jesus? Sometimes I wonder. I look in the mirror and I wonder. Sometimes I think we look a lot more like the Pharisees than we do like Jesus. In fact, in Matthew 15, if you want to turn there, Matthew 15, verse 10, verse 8, we'll start. Jesus said this, and this is harsh. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. And then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Did you know you offended the Pharisees? You don't want to do that, Jesus. I love that. Do you know they were offended? Really? You know, there are moments whenever I am made aware of something that I need to change. Something that keeps me from looking like Jesus. I'm made aware of that, and wouldn't you know it, I get offended. Highly offended sometimes. You know, who do they think they are? I know the rich ruler. I'm him. Sometimes walking away sad and offended. Because I do know that there is something inside of me that needs to change so that this transformation can continue. But honestly, sometimes that thing, it is the most difficult thing to let go of. Now, if my renovation, if my transformation was purely on the outside, I could handle that. You know, 45 minutes, I'm done. But it's really more a renovation of the heart, isn't it? God does not renovate from the outside in. God renovates from the inside out. He transforms us into his image from the inside out. I mean, are we at a place where we know we need it? We know we need transformation? Can we let God do it? I mean, trust me, I know it's difficult. The question I'm going to ask us is, will we give God the chance to do so? Here's how. Number one, let him take control. That's easy. It's a cliche sometimes. Give God control. What does that mean? It means to give him control over your actions, what you do. What would that look like for you? Not to demand your way, not to only love someone if they can love back, but to love your neighbor even if they're bad neighbors, to love your church family even if they aren't that nice to you. What would it look like to begin to live out the Sermon on the Mount, to let God influence every part of your life? Because God knows what you need before you even ask it. We're not just talking about food and water. He knows what you need spiritually before you even ask it. Let him take it. Let him have control over that. And number two, become vulnerable, because when you do this, it's risky. Because it could make you look not as good as you want to look. Become vulnerable. Accept that you need transformation. You don't have it all together. There is no one righteous, not one person. Some of you have come a long way in your walk with Christ. I hope that I have. But we are still being transformed into his image. And in 2 Corinthians, it says this, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness." Not been, it's still happening with ever increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And finally, realizing that this transformation, this renovation does not happen alone. We cannot simply sit at home and in our house alone and pray that God renovates our life without being connected to the body of Christ. We cannot do that. We cannot be transformed in his image all by ourselves. Doesn't matter how good you are, how smart, how knowledgeable, how wise, it does not matter. You need each other. Now in this passage, this is what's fascinating to me. Jesus' suggestion for him was not just to get rid of everything he owned. He was calling him to something more. He called him into a life of service and participation with the community around him, but not just any community. He said, the poor. Give everything you have to the poor, which meant that those who are on the margins, these are the people he's talking about, the outcast, the ones who don't matter, the ones who are always around but invisible, to give it all away to those people who are not going to care, those people who won't be thankful. I mean, Jesus is calling this man to give away even the most valuable of his assets to people who won't say thank you. You are very noble for doing this. Oh, God's going to bless you. In fact, can I do something for you in return? He's not saying to give to those people. He's calling him to give everything away to people who will take it. And they will ask, do you have more? And when you say no, they will go to the next person who's giving something away. This is not easy. And we say, Lord, no. Shouldn't we just serve those people who are grateful? The people who are going to agree with us? I have a hard time with that. Until I realize that transformation begins with a death. Sacrificing yourself, your wants, your desires, your way of doing things, your way, an idea of a future, your idea of the present. So I can't look at other people the way that the world looks at other people. I have to do what Jesus did, and that is look at the heart. So I'm going to encourage you to focus on God. Focus and let him renovate our life from the inside out. It does not matter how old we are. Using a 12-year-old sage, God is not finished with you yet. He is not finished with you. But you know what else? He's not finished with others either. Imagine all these unfinished people in your community, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school. They need community to help them transform into the image of Jesus Christ. They need a living, breathing model of Jesus Christ to show them the way. So I'm going to encourage you, pour your life into your family. Pour your life into your church family. Pour your life into the community, not expecting anything in return, but giving your life away. And I know we can do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a hard lesson for me. But I'm going to ask you if your spirit needs renovating today. Are you at a place when you need something to change? God's in the renovation business. I mean, imagine this. Imagine God will give you a part of himself today. He could give you his purpose. He could give you his spirit, his hope. I mean, maybe if you're in this place and you've never given it up, you've never let go, maybe you need God to come in and renew your spirit, to give you his spirit instead. I mean, we've got this water right here. Maybe your journey starts. Maybe your journey continues. Maybe now's the time to let God give you his spirit, to begin from the inside out and renovating your life right here and right now. Maybe you just need prayer. Maybe you need to get something off of your chest so that God will let the work start. Let go of some things. Let go of those things that separate you from God. And you know what? If you do, he will let the transformation begin. Will you do this? Will you let him work, or will you walk away sad? Will we be offended? God is ready. His water is ready. Transformation will come.